Albert Einstein was once traveling from Princeton on a train when the conductor came down the aisle and he was punching the tickets of every passenger. And when he came to Einstein, the famous physicist, he reached in his vest pocket to pull out his ticket. And not finding it in his vest, he reached into his pant pockets and the ticket wasn't there either. And so Einstein looked in his briefcase. He found no trace of his ticket anywhere. He looked in the seat beside him, still couldn't find it. Well, the conductor said, "Dr. Einstein," he said, "I know who you are, and I'm sure that you purchased a ticket. Don't worry about it. You're fine." And Einstein nodded appreciatively, and the conductor continued down the aisle, punching tickets. But before he moved to the next car, he turned and saw the great physicist on his hands and his knees, checking under his seat for the missing ticket. The conductor rushed back and he said, "Dr. Einstein," he said, "please don't worry about the ticket. I know who you are. I'm sure that you bought a ticket." Einstein looked at the conductor and he said, "Young man, I also am sure I purchased a ticket. What I don't know is where I'm supposed to be going." I think the thing that stands out as I have read and reread Psalm 23 these recent weeks is this, that this chapter is not so much about where we go, but it's about with whom we go. Church, in Christ, we have a good shepherd. We have one who assumes responsibility for guiding us down the right path. And so over the last several weeks, we've been studying Psalm 23. We're discovering God's answer to many of the common causers of stress in our life. We've learned that God's answer to worry is Psalm 23:1. Let's say Psalm 23:1 together. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then we discovered God's answer to busyness in verse 2, let's say it together. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." Today we're going to look at God's answer to the stress that is caused by indecision. And the answer is found in verse 3. And I urge you this week to take time and commit Psalm 23:3 to memory. David said, "He, the shepherd, guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And life is a series of choices, a series of decisions. And one of the reasons that we stress over decisions is because we are inundated with choices. We're swimming in a world of multiple choices. I heard about a man who was going through basic training in the Army, and he was pulling KP, and he was given the assignment of sorting potatoes. And there was this huge mound of potatoes, and the mess sergeant told him, "Put all the bad ones in one bin, put all the good ones in the other bin." Sergeant came back 2 hours later and he found the man still looking at the first potato. There was nothing in the bins. And the sergeant asked, he said, "What's wrong with you? Don't you like the work?" And the soldier said, "It's not the work, it's the decisions, and they're killing me." I don't know about you, but I often feel that way. Life can be complicated. So many choices for us to make. We make countless decisions day after day. And these decisions, they touch the lives of people that we love. Our children, our wives, our husbands. We need wisdom. We need a shepherd. We need someone who knows the trail, someone whom we can trust. And although you and I have the freedom to make our decisions, we know that in the end, our decisions make us. So making decisions can be a stressful thing. Have you ever been afraid of making the wrong decision? Some of you right now are facing the stress of indecision. Just this week or maybe this month, you're facing a major issue. Should I hold on or should I let go? Should I get in or should I get out? Should I move or should I stay put? The stress of indecision can really start to eat at you. It can be all-consuming. The Bible says in James that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And the Greek word for unstable literally means to stagger like a drunk. Friend, when you can't make up your mind, when you are filled with indecision, you are going through life just staggering. Staggering through life. You find yourself bouncing off walls like a pinball in a pinball machine. Sometimes even after making a decision, we begin to second guess ourselves. Did I do the right thing? Did I miss God's best? So is there an answer to the stress that comes from decision making? And the answer is yes. In Psalm 23:3, David testifies. And he says that God guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Beloved, the answer to the stress of decision making is to allow God to guide you. Listen, we have a shepherd who not only wants to feed us, but he wants to lead us. He not only provides, but he guides. The shepherd not only protects, but he directs. And friend, God promises to guide you down the paths of righteousness when you place your trust in him. Remember, he will become your shepherd when you make him your Lord. And that word righteousness used by David, that word simply means that God will guide us down the right path. In today's language, David would say that God will keep you on the right track. And that's important because we know it's easy for us to get off track. It's easy for us to become preoccupied. It's easy to find ourselves majoring on the minors. But God is the one who keeps us on track. Some of you, maybe you've tried this. You've asked God to guide you, but you are more confused than ever before. Why is knowing God's will, why is it so difficult? Sometimes we wonder, is God playing games with us? Is he playing hide-and-go-seek? Friend, you can rest assured that God wants to guide you in the decisions of life. In fact, I believe that God wants to guide you more than you want to be guided. I believe God wants you to know his will more than you want to know it. And one of the problems is that we look for the wrong thing when we're trying to find God's will. Let me give you some wrong ways that we go about finding God's will. Some people go for the mystical approach. They're looking for a feeling. They're looking for an emotion. They want to be swept off their feet by some emotion. They're searching for the quiver in their liver. I mean, they're looking for this emotional release so that they can say, wow, that's how I know God's will. I want that warm, fuzzy feeling. Others are more logical. They want a methodical approach to God's will. They're looking for a recipe. They want a formula to know God's will so that they can apply the recipe. Friend, God's will is not a recipe. Mystical, methodical. Some people take a magical approach to God's will. They're looking for God to do some fantastic sign. They want to see God write it in the sky, or they want it dropped in their lap or sent to them by mail. And church, all of these ways lead to frustration because they cause us to miss out on God's will. God's will is not a feeling. It's not a formula. It's not something that he wants you to be frustrated about or fearful about. So how do I know God's will? There is only one way, and that is that we must pursue the shepherd. You want to know God's will? Pursue the shepherd. You need to spend time alone with God in his word and in prayer. And he will make your path clear. Focus on God and he will show you the step you need to take. He'll show you the next right thing. So how do I allow God to guide me down the right path? Well, the Bible provides four things for us to consider. And the first is that I admit I need a guide. That's the first thing that we need to think about. Admit I need a guide. Friend, you probably already know this. But sheep, by nature, they tend to wander. They get off the path. David testified that God will lead us along the right paths. And that Hebrew word translated paths, it means a well-defined, well-worn trail. David points out that even when the trail is laid out well, sheep still need a shepherd. Sheep are still inclined to wander away, no matter how obvious the path may be. The shepherd knows the trails. The shepherd's been there. The sheep need to trust him. And church, sheep need a shepherd. And so do we. Because we have a strong tendency to wander. Isaiah 53, the prophet warns us in verse 6 that all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Isaiah suggests that you and I do what we want to do. He implies that I assert my own wishes, that I carry out my own ideas. And friend, I do this despite God's warning. We want to go our own way. We don't like to admit that we need direction. We don't like to admit that we need a guide. Of course, most of us, if confronted, we would deny it. And we would say that we're led of the Lord. We insist that we follow wherever he leads. We sing songs about that, right? But as far as actually being led down paths of righteousness, few follow God's path. So church, we need a shepherd. We need someone to guide us. We can't see the future. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, much less next month or next year. We don't even know what's going to happen later this afternoon. And so we need a shepherd. We need someone who will guide us. In Revelation 1:8, Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." I want you to know that Christ knows exactly what the future holds, so that makes him qualified to be the perfect guide for your life. Listen, when you cannot trust the Lord with your future, it's called unbelief. That's what it's called. God wants us to acknowledge our need for his direction. He wants us to depend upon him. He wants to be our guide. If God gave us a destination, where do you think we would focus? Would we focus on God or would we focus on the destination? Where would we focus? We'd focus on the destination. If God gave us a recipe to follow, would we focus on the steps in the recipe or would we focus on God? We'd focus on the steps. Church, God has given us a way to know his will, and it's through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. God wants our focus to be on him as our shepherd. God wants our focus to be on him so that he can guide our steps. But we must first admit our need for a guide. Would you admit this morning, would you just simply say, God, I need your direction. God, I need you to be my guide. The Bible teaches that God guides the humble in what is right. And he teaches them his way. Humility simply means that I admit that I need a guide. The second principle from the scripture that we need to consider is that we need to ask in faith for God's direction. Ask in faith for his direction. Matthew 7:7, it's written, Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened." Those words of action, asking and seeking and knocking. We need to ask God for his direction, and we need to ask him in faith. James tells us about how we gain godly wisdom in chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. He says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him, but let him ask in what? In faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." Church, if you really want to know what God wants you to do in life, ask him. And he will gladly tell you, because God is always ready to grant wisdom to those who ask. But let me tell you, if you don't ask in faith, don't expect God to answer. Don't expect him to give you any solid answers. God is willing to give wisdom, and he wants to direct you in life. But you've got to have two things lined up. First of all, you've got to ask the right person, and that's God. And secondly, you have to ask with the right attitude, and that is in faith, expecting God to answer. Have you ever been guilty of asking God for something, but you didn't really expect that he was going to do it? I mean, you prayed and you said, "God, this is what I'd like for you to do," but in the back of your mind, you're thinking, "It's not going to happen. God's not going to do that." Too many times we say, "God, guide me," and then we walk away not even waiting for his guidance. We immediately try to do things in our own strength, things in our own wisdom. We say, "God, I want you to give me wisdom. God, help me make the right decision." But we don't really expect him to answer, because we think that it all depends on us. And so we jump in without waiting for his direction. Friend, God has promised wisdom. I would define wisdom as seeing life from God's point of view. Wisdom is the ability to make decisions the way that God makes decisions. And I want you to know that God never makes a bad decision. And he promises that if we will trust him, and if we will listen to him, he will guide us. But we must ask him in faith. A third principle to consider is to listen for God's response. Friend, as a believer in Christ, God has designed you in such a way that you are capable of receiving guidance and direction from the Good Shepherd. When life gets hard, you don't need reasons. You need comfort. When life is hard, you don't need answers. You need someone. And God doesn't come to us often with an explanation, but he comes to us with his presence. And how does he speak to us? The primary way that God speaks to us, he speaks to us through the Bible. Most of the direction that you need for life is found in God's word. God uses his word to help you negotiate the mazes and to provide the direction that you need in life. And friend, you need to read the Bible every day. If you don't spend time daily in God's word, it's like having the phone off the hook. God can't get through to you. You need to read the Bible. You need to fill your mind with what is in the scriptures so that you can know God's will. I would care to say that probably 95% of God's will is already revealed in his word. And we have to obey the truth that is right before us. If we are disobedient to our parents, we can't expect God to give us wisdom concerning our next step. Parents, if we're not raising our children in the things of the Lord, we can't expect God to direct us. Men, if we're not loving our wives as Christ loved the church, the Lord's not going to reveal more of his will to us. And wives, if we're not in submission to our husbands, God's leadership is not going to come your way. But when we obey the 95% of the truth that we have, what happens is the 5% that is indefinite, it simply follows along as a matter of course. I'm not suggesting that we have to be sinless, because who of us is? I'm just saying that we have to be willing to face. We have to be willing to put away sin as God points it out to us. And if we're willing to be brought into conformity to Jesus Christ in every area of our life, if we're allowing him freedom to work, then God will reveal more truth to us. But he won't reveal more of his will if we're consciously holding out and defending sin. God speaks through the scriptures. He also speaks through others. Have you ever been in a crowd? Maybe it's been a worship service, or maybe it happened for you during Sunday school, and you're sitting in a crowd and you're listening to somebody teach, and it just feels like that the teacher or the preacher is speaking directly to you. Has that ever happened to anybody? You say, well, what is that? That's God speaking directly to you. It's God speaking through others to your heart. God speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through others. And God also speaks through impressions or inspirations or ideas that come from the Holy Spirit. Now, let me warn you of two extremes. First is the rationalist who says God never speaks through impressions through his Holy Spirit. And then there's the mystic who says every impression that I receive must come from God. And we know that's not true, because what you may think is God impressing something upon you, it might just be a bad burrito that you ate last night. God can give you all kinds of impressions, but so can gas. And so as we mature in our faith, we learn to test our ideas. We learn to test the impressions, and we test them against God's word. We learn to bathe our ideas in prayer and to allow God's peace to affirm his direction. But friend, if you will listen, if you'll tune into God, he will lead you down the right path. But if you don't get in tune with God, what happens is you're going to miss his path. We've got to be willing to submit wholeheartedly to the leadership of the shepherd. We've got to be willing to say, God, I'll go anywhere. God, I'll do anything. I'll be anything. I'll carry any load. God, I will do anything you want me to do. And once we're willing to say that, then God can reveal his will to us. In Romans chapter 12, Paul said it this way. He said, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And you will know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In the Apollo space launches to the moon, the astronauts were constantly engaged doing mid-course corrections. You know, they didn't just aim the rocket and just let it go and it arrived there automatically. Every second of the way, they were recorrecting. And beloved, that's why you need a daily quiet time with God. You need to stay in daily contact with him. You need daily contact because it's so easy for us to get off track. And what happens if you're out of fellowship with God, maybe for a day or for a week, you can get your entire life trajectory off by a wide margin. You may even end up in an entirely different place than God ever intended for you. So friend, you need to stay in tune with God. You need to listen to His voice in order to make those mid-course corrections. Following your own path leads to broken dreams, broken hearts, broken lives, broken homes. And we have a society around us that is broken. And they're broken because people are not following the path that God intended them. The good news is that when you come to God and you say, God, I think I missed the path somewhere along the line. God, I don't know where, but somehow I got off track. Will you help me? The good news is that God will turn you back around. Some of you are thinking this morning, you're thinking, man, I am so far off the path. I don't think there's any way God can get me back on track. Listen, no matter how far off the path you find yourself today, God can get you back on track. Will you acknowledge that you've turned your own way? Will you ask for His forgiveness? Will you ask Him to restore you and to help you get back on track? I realize that sometimes God leads us down paths that don't make any sense. And that path may involve a tragedy. It may involve a crisis. God's path might include a great deal of pain. Sometimes the path that God has designed for your life will be hard to understand. And that leads us to the fourth principle, and that is that I am to trust God even when I don't understand. Friend, when I cannot see God's plan, I still must trust His hand and that He's leading me. You remember in the Old Testament when the children of Israel were set free from Egypt, Moses had gone to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh, when he finally had endured enough, he says, "Okay, get out of here." And so the Israelites left Egypt, the whole nation. They start marching out to freedom. And the first thing they come to is the Red Sea. On one side is a mountain range that is uncrossable. On the other side, another mountain range that is uncrossable. Right in front of them is the Red Sea. And behind the Israelites in hot pursuit is the Egyptian army, who has changed their mind and now they intend to slaughter God's people. Put yourself in that spot. What's God going to do? At this point, the path that God has led Moses and the Israelites down, it looks like a dead end. It looks hopeless. But church, God knew exactly what He was doing. He was preparing His people for a miracle. He was preparing them for deliverance. God had not made a mistake. Beloved, we had a shepherd who can see what we cannot see. And the book of Exodus describes how God opened the Red Sea, how the Israelites walked through on dry land while the Egyptian army was destroyed. And years later, the Israelites looked back, and in Psalm 77:19, this is what they testified. They said, "God, your road led by a pathway through the sea, a pathway that no one knew was there." Right now, some of you are facing what appears to be a dead end. It might be financial, it might be emotional, it might be relational, it might be your career. You're facing what looks like a dead end, but maybe, just maybe, it's not really a wall. What if there were a door that God intends for you to walk through? Perhaps God can see a path that you don't know anything about. The path that you're on right now may be the one that is dark, it may be discouraging. You may feel depressed and think that there is no way that things are going to work out. But listen, friend, if you will keep moving in faith, and if you will keep trusting God even when you don't understand, He will make a way. If you will keep walking on the path that God has placed you on, His plan will become clearer and clearer. I urge you to do what Solomon encouraged all of us to do in Proverbs 3:5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." Friend, don't try to figure it all out. Instead, even when you don't understand, trust God. Follow the instruction right in front of you. Do the next right thing, and God will take care of you. Is there some way that I can be sure that I'm trusting God? Solomon said, "When the Lord is your shepherd, He will lead you down the straight path." So friend, if you're traveling down a crooked path, then you're not following God. I would suggest that you check your footprints. You can tell a lot about your direction by looking at where you've been. Check the rearview mirror to see if you're walking straight according to the Word of God? Is your life aligned with the teaching of God's Word? Are you being obedient to what you already know the Lord wants from you? Are you in His Word daily? Are you seeking His face in prayer? Are you doing the right things, the right way, and for the right reasons? Friend, one day you're going to stand before God, and God's going to say to you, did you take the path that I led you on? And if you say, no, I did it my way, God's going to say, then have it your way. Depart from me, for I never knew you. But friend, the path that God has set for you will lead you to heaven. The path where you get to call the shots leads only to destruction. And if you don't follow God's path of righteousness, if you choose not to surrender your will for His, then you will forever be separated from Him in a place called hell. The ultimate question for each of us today, the ultimate question is this: whose path are you going to follow in life? Are you traveling down the path that you think is best? Or are you traveling the path that God has marked out for you? You say, Jason, how do I get started down this path with God? Well, the journey with God begins as you admit your sin. It begins as you choose to turn away from sin and self in order to follow Christ. The Bible teaches that Jesus paid for your sin through His death and His resurrection. On Calvary's cross, Jesus paid all the debts that we will ever owe by making the only sacrifice that we will ever need. Friend, will you confess your faith in Christ as the only way to be made right with a holy God? Will you follow the path that He has marked for you? Maybe this morning you just need to say to Him, God, I want to return to the path that You have planned for me. God, I want to live the way that You want me to live. Friend, I need to be up front. I need to tell you God's path will not necessarily be the easiest path. God's path for you will not always be the most popular path. God's going to want you to walk differently than the crowd. God's path is not necessarily the path in life that is going to make you the most money. It's not the path that's going to be the least risky. You say, well, why should I follow God's path? Well, Solomon tells us in Proverbs 12:28, in the way of righteousness there is life, and in its pathway there is no death. Friend, you see what God promises to those who follow His path? You get to enjoy the good life here on earth, and you will receive eternal life with Him in heaven. But on the other hand, when you choose to go your own way, the way that seems right unto man, it ends in death. Friend, the choice is yours. Will you trust in God? Will you follow the path that He has marked out for you? Or will you stagger through life, trusting that you know what is best? Would you pray with me? Father, I thank You for how You guide us and lead us and direct us. Father, it was never Your intention that we would become Christians and then just be left to stagger and flounder and be tossed this way and that way. But Father, You have a path for us. You have a plan for us. Jeremiah tells us it's a plan to prosper us. It's a plan to that wants Your best for us. And Father, when we follow Your path, we know the good life. We know what it is to be at peace with You. We know what it is to have joy because of Your presence and because we're smack dab in the middle of Your will, Your plan. But Father, we also know what it's like to be off track. We know what it's like to be in places where You never intended for us. And God, we acknowledge it is so easy for us to get off track. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for those that You surround us with that speak truth to us and encourage us. God, I thank You for Your Holy Spirit that dwells within us and just affirms the promises of Your word. God, this morning I lift up believers to You. That, Father, those here who are off track this morning, that You would help them make a mid-course correction. That, Father, there would be humility to confess our need for a guide And Father, that we would be patient and that we would trust you, that we would lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you. God, I pray for those this morning who are just staggering through life. Father, for those who don't have a shepherd, for those who are without a guide, Lord, I pray that today they would begin a brand new relationship with your Son, Jesus. Father, being a believer isn't the easiest life. It's not the most popular. But Father, we know that it's the only way to live. Thank you for the assurance. Thank you for the peace that you provide as we walk with you. Father, move during this invitation. Do all that you desire in our lives and in the life of your church. It's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand.